Welcome to the Circumcision of the Heart podcast series with your teacher Henry Jackson.
Good morning, listeners. We are going to start with this morning's session number 5 of the Circumcision of the Heart. And just before we start, shall we just pray? Dear Lord, we thank you that we can do nothing of ourselves. Everything comes from you, and we humble ourselves before you and ask you, Holy Spirit, to take charge of this morning's teachings, and that you will open our ears, the ears of our hearts, that we might really hear and be obedient and respond to your word. Bless me also as I speak, Lord. May your Spirit speak through me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just a very quick recap on session 4. We started with reading from John chapter 12 and verse 20 to 24, where some Greeks come to Jesus and they are seeking Jesus, and they say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." He said, "What a wonderful thing to ask. I want to see Jesus. We don't want to see church rituals or clever ideas or clever theology or whatever man can do. We want to see Jesus. That's what we want to see." And Jesus answered this question, very important question. "So we wish to see Jesus." He answered the question by saying that the seed must first fall into the ground and die. And when it's died, then it will grow and become a big plant and bear much fruit. But before it dies, it dwells by itself alone. In other words, it doesn't have any strength for reproduction or anything like that, because it's all you see is that seed. It represents pride and just all of ourselves. We must die, as Jesus had to die for himself, so that the world could eventually see him in his glorified position. So we also must come to a place where we have to die for ourselves and our own cleverness and our own pride and arrogance, and come alive by the Spirit to a new being where we represent Jesus. So that's the theme that we're dealing with now. And of course, it's part of the circumcision of the heart, where all of me, all of my flesh, and all of my desires and my cleverness must be cut off from our heart. So my heart is open for the Holy Spirit to speak in and through me. So we're going to look today at the continuation of that, but I'm going to go to the Old Testament, and I'm going to read an interesting verse here in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 16. Now, the background to this is the story of Esau and Jacob, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. And then when Jacob took the blessing that came with the birthright, Esau was sorry that he did that, but he couldn't reverse that, and he was angry, wanted to kill Jacob. And so Jacob had to flee for his life, and he traveled the whole day right into the night, and he was very tired, and he went to a place and he lay down. He took a stone and used the stone as a pillow. Always think that must have been quite a hard pillow, but he must have been very tired to sleep on a pillow. But then he had a dream that night, and God appeared to him in this dream, and there was a ladder from earth to heaven. There was a gateway to heaven, and the angels were coming up and down on this ladder. And then God appeared on the top of the ladder and spoke to Jacob and said to him, gave him a promise, extended the covenant that he had made with his grandfather Abraham and with his father Isaac, and said to him, "My covenant I'm making with you also." And he said to him, "I will bring you back to this land, and I will bless you, and I'll make your descendants great," and so on. A wonderful blessing. But then when Jacob woke up from this dream, this magnificent dream. We read this portion here just as he woke up. And verse 16, it says, then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, Jehovah. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and he took a stone that he had put at his feet, at his head, and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, which means the house of God. Now, I want you to notice an interesting thing. Jacob doesn't understand all the things that he's doing here, but he is on the bit of understanding that he has. He says, this is the house of God. This is the dwelling place of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. And so he puts the stone up so that he can know where this place is, so that if he wants to meet with God, he can come back to this place, because this is where God is. You know, that's his understanding. This is the house of God. And I'm putting this stone up. I don't want to forget where this place is. I'm going to come back here one day, and I'm going to meet with God here. Now, when we look at the New Testament and compare it, we find that the temple of God, the house of God, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it says, you, the body of Christ, you are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. So I want you to understand that God is in heaven, but he dwells in our hearts. And he's made our hearts his temple, his dwelling place. That's where he resides. And so I'm taking another piece out of this Old Testament scripture. He says here, this is the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. If you want communication with God, if you want a gate to open heaven to you, you need to come to this place. That's what Jacob is saying. This gateway to heaven, the gateway, the place which opens heaven. Now, if we compare that to the New Testament understanding that our lives, we, our hearts, are the house of God, that's where God lives, then that means that also is a gateway to heaven to everybody that we meet. When we meet with somebody and Jesus dwells in our hearts as King, we become the gateway for that person to come to know Jesus. We become that. We open heaven to people. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we're a moving gateway. And as we meet people, people see Jesus. That's what we spoke about last week. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And we then become the representative that through whom they can see Jesus. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, we see that Paul writes there, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies. Something will happen to you. So the Spirit of God, that powerful, powerful Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, the devil and all of the demons of hell could not hold him back. Jesus rose from the dead, and it was the Spirit of God that did that. That same Spirit of God is offered to dwell in you and in me. I mean, those are powerful statements. It's almost too much to comprehend that such a powerful spirit would condescend to come and live in my life and in your life. So now what happens when that same spirit comes and dwells inside of us? We become the body of Christ. We become the temple of God. We become the dwelling place of God. And there's a powerful thing that comes out of us. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we read here something very beautiful. It says there in verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. He leads us in his triumph, in other words, in victory. We walk in victory. And through us diffuses or manifests or makes known the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. The sweet fragrance of Jesus is diffused through us. It's gushed forth, as it were. So wherever we go, the sweet fragrance of Jesus goes with, and people meet Jesus through us. That's his plan. That's what he wants to do. Folks, can you get to see the importance of this thing? When my heart is circumcised and your heart is circumcised and all the arrogance and pride and the worldly lusts and desires are cut off, and Jesus comes and makes his home as King of our lives, and his Holy Spirit dwells in us, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, a sweet fragrance constantly diffuses or is made known. It's like a lady that walks through town. She's got a lovely perfume on, and as you walk past, it's like your head turns. You think, wow, that was a nice fragrance that came past me, and your head turns. We need to have this head turning fragrance that wherever we go, it turns heads. People say, what is that? That's beautiful. And folks, we've got a responsibility, and it's a wonderful responsibility. I remember once, and I've told this story several times, my wife and I were in a mall in Bloemfontein. And as we walked into this mall, we came to a place, and in front of us, coming towards us, was an old man and his wife. And this old man was walking with great difficulty, and he had a cane with which he was walking. And you could see this man was in pain. I saw that his leg, or his one leg, was had bandages on. And you could just see this man was in pain. And so he walked towards it with a little restaurant right there with chairs outside. And he walked towards one of these chairs to sit down. And as he sat down heavily, and his cane slipped from underneath him, and he almost fell into the chair. And I could see this man was in pain, but this happened right in front of me. So I knelt down, I picked up the cane, I kneeled in front of him and gave him the cane. And I said to him, sir, I see that you're in pain. He said, oh, I'm in so much pain. I've had an operation in my knee, and it's just so painful. So I said to him, would you mind if I prayed for you? He said, please do. And so right there in the mall with the people walking past, I laid my hands gently on his knee and I prayed for him. I said, Lord, please just touch this man, heal him, touch his leg, and just take away all this pain. And when I finished praying, I gave him my card, my business card, which has just got all my details on. And I blessed him, and we went on. That evening, I received a phone call from a strange number. Answered the phone, and he said, is that Henry Jackson? I said, yes. He said, I'm the man that you prayed for today in the mall in Bloemfontein. He said, I just want to tell you that I'm completely healed. God has taken away all the pain. I'm completely healed. Now, you see, that is the sweet fragrance of Jesus that came unexpectedly to a man that was in pain. And I just had to be ready and awake to let that fragrance flow through me to this man to bring him healing. And that's a privilege that we have, that we walk with Jesus inside. He's our King, and he does his miracles still. And we've seen so much of that. But what we've known is that we need to be that sweet fragrance of Jesus. Now, if I carry on to the next chapter, chapter 4, and I read from verse 5, Paul writes here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, he says, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake." In other words, we're not yet to tell people how good we are. We preach Jesus. We are just servants. We just come to serve. We just come to present Jesus, to present his fragrance. There's nothing in ourselves that we can present. You know, I have been asked by a few groups and people about revival. People say, "We want revival. We want restoration, or we want renewal in our churches or our groups and so on. How can we go about it?" And for one particular person who asked that, they had a church meeting where all the elders and deacons and so on, everybody got together and planned how they could have revival in their church, renewal, and how they could impact their society. And they had wonderful plans all written out, and so interesting. And I said to him, "You know, I think you're missing the main point. We, as a church or whatever you might want to call it, we have nothing to offer except Jesus. It's not our good plans. We must come to a place where we are just servants. And all we give is Jesus, and we long after him, we seek after him." And the next session, we're going to speak a little bit more about that. But we want him to be Lord and master over us. And we're just completely submitted. We die to ourselves, and we come alive to him being Lord over our lives. That's the essence of the whole teaching on the circumcision of the heart, where everything is cut off. And just Jesus is Lord, and his Holy Spirit rules in our hearts. So here Paul says here, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants." And he says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That's an interesting statement. He refers back to Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible says that it was dark and void, and the Spirit of God started to move over the waters in this darkness. Now, folks, darkness is a nothing. You can measure light. You measure it in lumens, and there's different frequencies of light, visible light, other light that you cannot see, like infrared and cosmic rays and ultraviolet and X-ray and radio waves. It's all part of light. You can measure light. And light is very powerful. It's an energy that is so powerful, and we could not live without light. The first thing that needed to be created was light, because without light, there's no life. And in the contrary, darkness has got nothing to offer. You can't measure it. You can't make it a little bit dark, a lot dark. Darkness is just, it's a nothingness. And God comes into this nothingness, and he speaks a command, "Let there be light." Out of nothing, he creates light. And so we come also in our nothingness. We have nothing to put on the table to help God, as it were. We have nothing to give except ourselves. And God comes and he commands light to shine out of this darkness of our hearts, this darkness of the nothingness that we have. And the light comes, which is beyond our own strength and ability. a light starts shining, and there's an energy that comes there that is not my energy. It's an energy of God that works through me now. And then he says in the next verse, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's an earthen vessel? It's a clay pot. We are just clay pots. As I've said often to people, I'll say it again, there's some very beautiful clay pots, and there's other just as beautiful clay pots. But folks, we are just clay pots. We're nothing. But inside of this nothingness, when I'm emptied of myself and everything that I can produce and so on is emptied out, so that I come with an empty vessel, that's when he fills that vessel with his treasure, which is the Holy Spirit. And you remember the story back in the Old Testament of Elijah. This widow came and said, I'm hard pressed. My husband has died. We have nothing to eat, and the people are wanting money from me, and there's nothing I can do. Elijah said, go and get some empty vessels. Her miracle started with an empty vessel. Go and get some empty vessels. He said there, not a few. Get as many as you can. And close the doors behind you and put those empty vessels. And then you take your little jar and you start pouring. And it will pour oil. But it started with an empty vessel. We cannot start revival with full vessels that are full of ourselves and full of our own plans and full of our own theologies. Folks, because that's a darkness, that's a nothing. We start with an empty vessel. And when we have an empty vessel, he pours his Holy Spirit into us and fills us with his life-giving power that is far beyond our power. That's the essence of the circumcision of the heart. We let him reign as king of our hearts, and everything that is of us gets cut off. That's what we want, folks. We want this treasure in earthen vessels, that wherever we are, a sweet fragrance of Jesus just exudes from us. It just pours out from us and touches the lives of people far beyond our own understanding, sometimes without you even a touching person, just the presence, them coming close to your presence, they see there's something different here. They experience the power of God here. That's what we desire, this earthen vessel is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the first book of Corinthians, in the Afrikaans Bible, there's a very interesting statement, but I'll first read it in English. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. It says there, for by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we've all been made to drink in one Spirit. We've all been made to drink in one Spirit. Now, the Afrikaans Bible has an interesting translation. It says there, ons is almal deurdronge van een gees. Now, the word deurdronge is much stronger than drink. It means saturated. It's not just a little bit of water that we get. We're filled with the Spirit so much that we're saturated. There's no more place for the Spirit to go. Saturated, dear drongen. Man, I read that in Afrikaans Bible about a year ago, and it really hit me. I said, Lord, I want to be so saturated. It's like taking a sponge, and you take a sponge, you put it under the water, and you squeeze that sponge, and you squeeze it, and all the bubbles that are is in this sponge comes out. You squeeze it until there's nothing left to come out, and you open the sponge under the water, and then you lift the sponge up and you put it on the table. That sponge is saturated with water. if you press that sponge anywhere, water will come out because it's saturated with water. Now, if we are so saturated with the Spirit, when you press us, even with persecution, what comes out is Jesus. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to be saturated with the Holy Spirit. Folks, I long for that. And with the next session, we're going to speak about this longing so that our focus is directed to, Lord, I want light. I want life. I want your Spirit to fill me so entirely that there's no more place for anything else. We want to be filled with the Spirit. May the Lord give you the desire. May he give you a longing in your heart to say, Lord, may people see Jesus in me. May the fragrance of Jesus just pour out of me wherever I go, under whatever pressure I might be. May it just be the fragrance of Jesus. May I be saturated with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that this word has gone out, and I pray that each person that has heard this word will just get the truth of this, the powerful truth of this, that you desire to dwell in our hearts. You desire to be Lord in our hearts, to be King in our lives, so that your power, your Spirit, your beauty, your fragrance, everything of you will come pouring out of our lives under whatever pressure we might be under. Lord, may you be King. May you circumcise our hearts. May you fill our hearts to saturation point with your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, now I just want to mention as we close that I have a website. The website link is www.henryjackson.online. And on that link, on that website, you'll find many Bible studies and articles and books about these things. Podcasts, videos. I've written these things. I've put this in one place so that people have almost a library, as it were, of information, of Bible knowledge that they can gain. So go browse through the website. There's a lot of things for you to look at there. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Jou oorwinning in Christus Radio. Basraak Web Radio. Basraak, jy kan enige uitdaging of bekommernis in jou lewe basraak. Basraak. Basraak Web Radio op www.basraak.tv.